Hello and welcome to A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. This week we've got a cracking show for you. It's very much military and CIA based. First up, we'll be discussing Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruits. So a cheeky little spy film for you there. Then we'll be having a look at the harrowing Lone Survivor with Mark Wahlberg in it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hello. So finally, a bigger boat returns. Half of a bigger boat. A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. So, you know, Chris isn't here with us today, so you'll be dealing with just me. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy that. So, as we said in the intro, the first thing we're going to be looking at is Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, an interesting little spy film, I guess you could say, kind of in the action, mystery, thriller sort of genre. Directed by Kenneth Branagh, and interestingly enough, in the same series of films, and I'd even click this watching the adverts, silly me. So it's the same kind of Jack Ryan from the series, you know, Hunt for Red October, Clear and Present Danger, The Sum of All Fears, Patriot Games. So obviously, you know, before Chris Pine playing Jack Ryan, we had Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, Alec Baldwin coming beforehand. So I think those may be worth a revisit at some point, and maybe I can, you know, could do a little special on those. Okay, so Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, directed by Sir Kenneth Branagh. And interestingly enough, from what I hear, obviously based on characters created by Tom Clancy, I think it was the last film he was involved in before he passed away, rest his soul. Yeah, and I guess first and foremost, one of the things you save it is it's kind of a throwback to kind of old school sort of spy films. In particular, you get a scene in it where they're in a cinema kind of passing information, and it reminds you sort of like, you know, two secret agents sitting on a bench in a park inconspicuously, you know, so, you know, has the pigeon landed in the nest or something like that, and sharing information. It's kind of a throwback to those kind of old types of films. Interestingly, one of the things that really stood out for me during this film is the pacing of it. Now, I think we're kind of in a modern day age where when you get kind of a big action mystery sort of action mystery thriller, which is what this is, you know, a film with some really big set pieces in it, you could be sitting there for, you know, up to 2.5 to 3 hours in the cinema. And sometimes, yeah, I just find that's simply too much. Whereas there's no point during this film which I sat and was kind of looking at my watch going, you know, where's this going? Is this going to end? You know, is it almost over? I think the film's about 1 hour and 40 minutes, which was perfect for this story, I must say. There's no point in it that I was sitting there going, oh, this is too long. This is too, you know, and the pacing of it was, it felt just right. So yeah, it wasn't too long. It wasn't too short. Now, in particular, it's a mystery. It's an action film, but foremost, it's a bit mystery thriller, I'd say. And you're sitting there watching throughout. You know, you are trying to work the characters out, and that's very good. It doesn't give too much away. It keeps you guessing and thinking and going, you know, who's, you know, what role does he play? So, in particular, you know, I'd love to give special mention to Kevin Costner in this phrase. You know, you sit there throughout, and obviously I won't give anything away, but you very much are questioning him. And I think that's very good because, you know, there's no kind of lines between black and white, which, given this nature of it and kind of the spies and, you know, agents and double agents, I think that's very much what you want from a film. Additionally, you know, on top of Chris Pine and Kevin Costner, you also have Keira Knightley and Kenneth Branagh. Now, Kenneth Branagh, also director and acting within the film, he plays the role fantastically of the main baddie, Victor Chevrin. That's it. I had it written down. I could completely forgot that one. You know, interestingly enough, he plays it so strongly. And my other half, Lucy, you know, she kind of said, you know, he's the best part of the film, and she thinks, you know, he's just an amazing actor and director. And you know, I would agree. He does a very good role and very kind of sinister and evil in the way he plays it. Now, it's kind of, with the interesting thing is you have the typical kind of throwback to the old spy films, like I said, so that Russia versus USA thing, very much like the tip of the Cold War kind of, you know, even though the film's not necessarily about specific war breaking out, although, you know, you very much feel with the subject, it could lead to that if things go a certain way. It does tip on, touch on the tip of that kind of USA versus Russia kind of old school sort of feeling. One of the things the film does fantastically, and I really liked about it, was the build up in the tension. Not only is the pacing very good, but there's one scene particularly, you know, lots of the film, as with most spy films, it's about, you know, the stealing of information as such. So, you know, I don't think that gives away too much. And there's a particular scene, kind of, I'd say maybe halfway through the film, that's about 10, 15 minutes long. And you're quite frankly in the edge of your seat, and they do it very well, the way they which they build the tension and make it, make you, you know, your heart rate go. You know, you're sitting there hoping, you know, wondering what's going to happen. And they do this fantastically, because sometimes, you know, you get tense scenes like that, and you almost, you know, the outcome. And this one, it could really go either way. And the one thing I'll say is, you know, in terms of these scenes and whatnot, you know, the adverts didn't give away too much. And that was really good, because I thought going into it that maybe I had different impressions from the ads than what the film was actually like, which is also probably brings me to one of my most interesting points, is that I didn't expect to be seeing this film. So I went in with kind of little or no expectation about what it was about. Which meant I kind of came out quite pleasantly surprised. It'd be interesting if I went back seeing it now, you know, having enjoyed it. And I probably won't have a chance to revisit the cinema, but when it comes out on DVD/Blu-ray, I think I'll definitely pick up a copy and have a look. It'd be interesting to see if I enjoy it as much. And if I think as highly of it afterwards the second time around. So that'd be quite a cool little test. Finally, I think one of the big things about that that made it so interesting to me. So you have, you know, the pacing of it, you know, fantastic. You know, I think it moves along at a really good speed. There wasn't any points that I'm sitting there going, oh, you know, when's this going to be over? When this is going to end? Next, you know, the tension of it builds, it keeps you interested. You know, there's nothing that makes you go, you know, either way. Now, and to throw back to kind of old school spy films, so if you're into that type of thing, I think you'll love this. But I think one of the really, really most interesting things is again, touching back on Kenneth Branagh, the way he plays Victor, is, you know, obviously you're rooting for the heroine of the film, but there's also a way in which when you hear his motives and it can almost be sympathized with. Obviously, I'd say the methodology of what he's doing and you know, how he's going about it is obviously not right when you're watching the film, but you can tell, you know, he's almost patriotic in his own sense, and actually, you know, you could almost turn around and make a film quite easily, but maybe him being the good guy, if it's from his point of view, I'm not sure. You know, maybe I'm maybe I'm going too far out on a limb saying that, but I think that sense of things that you do see him, and there's scenes where you actually see him as he is human and not just kind of this super villain, especially in scenes between him and Keira Knightley, which I thought were really interesting, and you don't tend to get that insight into a baddie in this type of film. And I think that's one of the things that really kind of makes it more interesting than any of the other, you know, the pacing, the tension, you know, the mystery, the action. It's really that, you know, the motives of both the good and the bad characters that kind of suck you in and make you sympathize with both and possibly relate to both in a way. So yes, I guess that kind of sums it up. A bit more interesting doing this one. It's one-sided, so obviously, as you can tell, those who follow us anyways know that this is the first time I've kind of had a crack on my own. So hopefully you enjoyed that. So Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, at cinemas now. I would say, get out to see it if you can. There may be some other films out there currently that are possibly better. Obviously, if you're asking me one I'd be probably more keen on seeing, and I'm going to see next week, is RoboCop. However, if you get some time, get out and see us. It's by no means a dud. I think there's a lot more worse films out there you could see, and especially if you're into kind of your action and mystery and stuff. I definitely think as well, me and Lucy went sauce together, you can quite easily get away with going on a date and seeing it. Get down and have a go. And like I said, get on to our Facebook page. What was it? The Boat Begins. Oh, that's really terrible. I should know that. Yeah, the Boat Begins. Let me know what you think. That was Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. Coming up next is our Netflix film of the week, then Lone Survivor. Okay, time for my Netflix film of the week. This week, I'm going to stick with the kind of CIA mystery action theme and go for another film starring Mark Wahlberg called Shooter. It was made in 2007. It's about Wahlberg, who is an ex-sniper in the military, and he gets kind of coaxed out of retirement to help solve a scheme to kill the president. And unfortunately, he ends up double-crossed. So get onto Netflix, check it out. You won't be disappointed. Okay, so that was my Netflix film of the week. Gotta love that music. So that's going to be kind of a regular feature. And not just Netflix, anything now TV. On TV generally, obviously, given it's a podcast, I want to try and pick things that people could go watch on demand. So if you have any suggestions, something that you think should make my film of the week, go to our Facebook page, The Boat Begins, and add a suggestion. We'd be happy to kind of take it on board, and it could appear on either a Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review or a Bigger Boat with Chris and myself. So I guess this brings us on to Lone Survivor, which I went and saw last night, and it stars Mark Wahlberg, directed by Peter Berg. It's based on the on a real story, actually, based in Afghanistan. So it's Navy SEALs, I believe it was, and they're going on a mission to I guess eliminate one of the head honchos in the Taliban, essentially. Now, there's no lie in the fact this is a true film. It puts it straight there in front of you from the get go. And it's a hard one, actually, because as you're watching it, if we start kind of the action in it, it feels very real as you're watching it. And I found, actually, I was sitting there very aware that it was based on a true story. It opens up kind of showing what these guys have to go through in the Navy SEALs to be accepted. And it's quite interesting because it kind of gives a line on, how hard these guys are. It's videos. I don't know if it's real footage. I assume it's real footage. It looked very real and seemed real. And some people might, say, oh, it's quite cruel that. But actually, as you watch the film and see the ordeal these guys go through, you understand why they're put through their pace in that way, and they don't just let anyone through. Now, again, I bring it back to the fact that I was very, very aware that this was based on a true story. If you've seen the adverts, you're not giving anything away, and the film is about a troop of, you have these four Navy SEALs who are on this campaign to get this Taliban leader and whatnot, and things go wrong as they're compromised because some goat herders come across them in the mountains that they're based in. So that leaves kind of the moral dilemma for them, whether they, you know, let these people go free and potentially, you know, end up having an army after them, essentially, whether they just tie them up and leave them for dead, or whether they ultimately, you know, pull the trigger and finish them off. So, you know, they make that decision. And as I'm watching it, you know, is it interesting? I was sitting there thinking, you know, what does this raise moral dilemmas? And funny enough, within myself, I thought, well, maybe it doesn't, because at the end of the day, you know, if you've seen The Avert, you know they let them go. And ultimately, you know, that is the right decision for someone to do that. So I was thinking, you know, it's not, the film's not about the moral dilemma. I think the film's more about, you know, what these guys go through. And it's so harrowing. And I'd say, when it gets to the action, no, you know, people are so used to kind of fancy violence and whatnot. I completely handle that. You know, I like a big action film as much as the next guy. But I actually found this film difficult to watch. Not in a bad way. You know, it's, again, to articulate how I felt, that it was tiring. It was exhausting sitting watching it, you know, and to say I was entertained would be wrong. You know, you're sitting there, when you say entertained, you think, you know, you're having a good old jolly and really having fun yourself. I was gripped. It wasn't like I didn't want to walk up, but it wasn't entertained. And I don't mean that at all in a bad sense. It seems so real. You're watching it, and there's scenes when, you know, people are hurt, when there's gunfights. You know, the sound design in it is just so realistic. You know, it feels like bullets flying past your head. The sounds. You know, I know people in the military. You know, I've talked to them before about what guns sound like, and I've shot guns before. Of course, I've never had a bullet fly past my head. Don't get me wrong. And the sound was just, the design, it was fantastic. And they go so far to make it seem so real. But it puts you in this position when you're watching it, I found it really difficult. As a matter of fact, I would go so far to say this is probably one of the most distressing movies I ever watched. And again, I'm not saying it in a bad way, you know, that I would have walked out or anything like that. It's actually, it does what it does very well. I don't think, if we talk about the acting for a second and kind of move away from sort of the action and set pieces, I think that there's not a lot to it, but in a way, I don't think there needs to be. The actors in it, you know, there's, you know, Mark Wahlberg, Taylor Kritsch, because I should pronounce it, Emil Hirsch, Ben Foster, you know, Eric Bana, you know, to name some of them. They all very much seem like kind of normal guys, you know, and isn't kind of overacted, and I think the interesting thing is, obviously, normally in a films you get kind of your big, you know, muscly guys, and that, funny enough, you know, and they don't seem normal. You know, these guys are all seem like action heroes, but they're meant to be, you know, and that's good. Now, again, I think that part of it's done very well, but pulling back, I think, like I said, it is very distressing, and I do think it is difficult to watch at times. I left it kind of feeling drained, and I didn't hear a lot of comments about it of people leaving. I heard the odd one, but normally, you know, you hear a bit of chatter and that, and the cinema at the end was so dead silent. I think actually maybe people felt the same way, and it was actually probably one of the quietest films I've ever sat and watched. Obviously, there's some scenes that are quite loud and noisy, but yeah, so. Very, very, very difficult in that way. I suppose one of the things which I really brings it back on side for me is, if you don't know the story, you know, it may be good to watch. I think I'd be one to probably go out and buy the book afterwards and have a read, because I found it, you know, very interesting. As you're watching, but again, very harrowing. That they went through. But I think at the end of the film, you know, as you're watching, it almost does leave you a sense that good prevails eventually, and that's all I'll say on that, because I think, even though, you know, it felt so distressing and draining to be watching it, things, I wouldn't say were made right in the end. It doesn't feel like it's made right, but there's still kind of small flickering lights of goodness which you like to see come through in a film. So yes, I guess it's a difficult one. What I would say is it definitely won't be for everyone. I could see, you know, maybe if I could see it'd be a difficult film to watch, it might, maybe for a younger person who might have a parent out in the military or something like that, you know, although that's not necessarily for me to say. I would question the idea that it was a 15 rating. In my opinion on this is purely, I guess, it's set up in a way which, yeah, it is technically 15, but again, I'll pull this back to the realism. I very much am a believer that fantasy violence is a lot different to realistic violence, and this is probably one of the most real films I've seen. And I think it's almost like it was difficult to watch at times, but interesting to gauge kind of the psyche and kind of togetherness of these people. Now, I do think it would be difficult to watch for some people. You know, I'm in my mid-20s, and I left it feeling quite difficult. The one thing I would say is it's very interesting, you know, and puts out in terms of, you know, when you get some films which are, and maybe even games which kind of glorify the sort of aspects of war and violence and stuff like that, and this film in no way did that. And I think that's probably what was so harrowing about it. And actually, Peter Berg, as director, has done a very good job there to kind of make sure it's the film's completely onside and not glorifying those types of things. Because I don't think that would have done it justice at all. I think it's much better that it didn't. Now, so yeah, to sum up, and again, it's a very difficult one. And if you do decide to watch it, I'd hope you can wait, kind of understand what I mean. One of my favorite kind of films, sort of based on sort of true stories and more than that, is Black Hawk Down, and very much I would kind of relate it to that type of thing in terms of story. However, there is a lot more in terms of, you know, the feeling you get from it. And I think because generally these types of films, a lot more people, you know, you very much get to know these four characters to a degree and see them. And I think that makes it so much more difficult. So I guess to summarize, if you're looking for kind of a great story or something like that, so something like, you know, off the top of my head, something like Catch Me If You Can, obviously a completely different genre, completely different kettle of fish, but, you know, a very great kind of story to it, that this film probably wouldn't be for you. But if you're looking for something kind of real and you know, it is very realistic, you know, it is a hard watch. And you know, I'd be interested. I know it's, again, kind of completely two different subject matters, but I've been told the same thing about 12 Years a Slave, and I'd love to kind of, I've not seen it yet, but I want to go see it, and I'd love to kind of compare the two from the point of view of, at the end of the day, it's regardless of subject matter, you're looking at kind of humans and treatment and things they've been through. And I would love to kind of see the two and see how 12 Years a Slave handles that. In terms of the way, you know, this handles it, again, very different subject matter. But I think if you are looking for that big story, you know, this film probably isn't for you. If you have an interest in kind of, you know, the military and things like Afghanistan and whatnot, you know, you may possibly enjoy it from the point of view to kind of see what people go through. The one thing, you know, again, I will pull back to is, you know, the goodness and other shining through. You know, I really did like that, and that kind of makes you feel better about it. But it is kind of mentally draining and difficult to watch at points. Very realistic and very tense. I've not come out of a film feeling the way I felt with this one before. It was very kind of distressing, you know, and I was very aware about it being a true story, which I think made it quite uncomfortable, but again, not uncomfortable in a bad way. You know, none of that kind of fantasy violence, and it really didn't glorify anything. You know, as kind of a final note, I'd say, you know, I want to go away and kind of take time to absorb it. And I think when it comes out on DVD Blu-ray, I think it'd be really good to kind of sit down and watch it again, purely from the point of view of, I obviously, having not known the story, not read it, and not know what was going to come next, I wonder if the second time around you watch it and kind of feel it's as hard-hitting. And the reason, you know, I particularly think it was quite hard-hitting is because as you're leaving the cinema, you know, the quiet, the silence of people just kind of filtering out. And I think there's a lot of thought there. And it's a good thing if it makes people think. So, yes, Lone Survivor. It's a difficult one in terms of recommendation. I think if you have a real interest in that type of thing, go and see it. But, you know, be prepared, because it's going to be a hard watch. So that's your lot. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, a bit of spy action for you there. Lone Survivor, you know, the harrowing tale starring Mark Wahlberg. And of course, my Netflix film of the week, Shooter. Be sure to check that one out if you get the chance, tonight, tomorrow night, just sometime this week. Be sure to check out our Facebook page, The Boat Begins, or search for A Bigger Boat and you'll be able to find us. Give us your comments and thoughts on the two films tonight and Shooter. Be good to hear those. This has been A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. I've been Tyler. Thanks for listening. Well, I've not been Tyler. I'm always Tyler, so.